2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tuesday, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Go to the website, use the promo code PODCAST, get you 20% off each month of your subscription. That comes out to $16 per month for you. With that, you get access to our domination station, which pretty much does all the work for you if you don't have time to do research throughout the day. Updated projections, Keith's Boomers Baller Sheet, which is more of another tool that you can use there if you don't have time to do research throughout the day. And of course, access to our Slack channel, where somebody is always in there either touting themselves about how great they are at NBA DFS or complaining about how terrible these people are on the court. Nonetheless, still a great place to be on game nights and in all the time leading up to it. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I am your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. And you can find Keith Hall there as well, who's joining us as always. He is at Boomer's DFS Daddy. So, Keith, it looks like a little weather can't hold this mano-a-mano matchup we got going tonight.
Yeah, it's not a little snow. You guys are getting the snow that I wish I had. It's a nice little winter storm you guys got going on up there. I've been watching a little bit of the updates and stuff, and the Thunder usually, if they've got a day off, they'll like sleep in their own beds, you know, and then leave the next day and travel during the day. That way, you know, they're not, you know, spending all day in a hotel and then all the next day in a hotel. No, the Thunder left straight after their Sunday game to get there before the storm. And this makes 2 years in a row that when we're going into Brooklyn, we've been hit by a storm.
Interesting. So very interesting. Yeah, you know what? You know, to be an old man and go back to the weather for a second, I must say, this snow is probably the most convenient on all the shovelers out there, because basically you can get that motion going where you just put the shovel down to the ground and then you just walk in a straight line and go. Like, all the snow is coming up kind of in pieces as opposed to like all the damn annoying powder. So thank you, Mother Nature, for that.
It's good snow. It's not, it actually is sticking. It's not like the powder that you hope to get at the, on top of the, have you ever been skiing or snowboarding?
I sure as hell have.
Okay. So, you know, like you've got the initial base layer. That's good. The good hard snow that you can cut and everything. Normally after like, you know, you get like 3 or 4 days where you go and you've got like skiing and snowboarding and stuff, and then you just want a fresh powder. You know, you're getting the base snow, the good stuff, the stuff that you really, really need in order to be able to have. I need to go back to Colorado. We just spent
You just brought up skiing, you know. It's crazy, right? Now, remember Sonny Bono, he hit the tree while he was skiing and everything. If it hadn't been for him, I just would have been like, wow, those trees are invisible. One can't possibly do that. So I will say, ever since I heard of that news, I mean, I haven't gone skiing as much just because I know hitting trees is definitely a possibility. I'm not an advanced skier or anything along those lines. So
there was a little bit more going on than just hitting the tree. I mean, obviously.
I do much better on ice skates.
Hey, I mean, we could go ice skating too. I mean, that's fine. It sounds like we're about to go on a damn date.
Yeah, I was going to say, man.
No, but like skiing at night, You know, where there's a bunch of lights out, or it's really, really light out from the moon and there's no clouds, you know. That's one thing. Doing it drunk and probably hopped up on a whole bunch of drugs to where you just absolutely just, like, you don't even try to break your fall or avoid it at all. That's a different story.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about, hitting trees and whatnot. So
that's exactly what I'm saying. That's probably what happened. I mean, the only person that's really going to know what happened is probably the hot blonde that he was with.
Right.
But because Cher wasn't there, that's for sure.
I don't see Cher being a skier. I don't see that.
I think she would, before all the plastic surgery and stuff, she'd make a really good snow bunny.
Okay.
Speaking of snow bunnies, oh my goodness. Okay, we have five games today. There are two games where there is snow that could, quote-unquote, potentially impact.
Correct.
We're going to, that's going to be worse than the injury updates today. Because everybody knows about it. Thanks, FanDuel. So we are going to just act like they're playing. So this is the last you're going to hear of snow.
Right.
So, and
as far as we're concerned, it's 75 and sunny out.
Yes. As far as we're just going to act like, because we're going to address it. I already said 15 times in Slack, and it's probably going to be more as it gets closer to lock. We're just going to address it then if it happens. And here's the one thing I'll say for it. There's a lot of good plays in these two games. Make sure that you have a contingency plan if it does happen. So the easiest way to do that, Al, would be to unclick the boxes for those two games on the Domination Station and start running some lineups.
Yeah, that could work.
So you can get an idea of where to pivot. So, but that's the last we'll have a mention of there. So,
all right. Now I'm temporarily going to be without the computer for for a couple minutes here. I got to restart it. But we'll kick off the discussion here. Detroit Pistons are at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs a -8. Point favorites here in this one. Money line 375 here. And then we've also got a total of 215. In terms of injuries, we've got Tobias Harris, questionable with the knee. Kevin Love and Kyle Korver both ruled out already for this one for the Cavs. So just given all that, where are you looking first?
First place we're going is obviously, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving. I don't think that we have to really go over the analysis of the usage that they have with, Kevin Love out, with Kyle Korver out. Actually, Kyle Korver kind of affects J.R. Shumpert. That would be the combination of the two, of Amon Shumpert and J.R. Smith. Quietly, though, I'm a little intrigued by Channing Frye. He's quietly been putting up some very good games. His price is not getting astronomically out of hand. He's still only 4,300 on FanDuel. Before the 13 that he dropped against Houston, which I think had more to do with Richard Jefferson kind of going off a little bit rather than anything else. He only played 14 minutes in that game, but he's got 30 point upside at 4,300. That's not bad, but that's probably his ceiling without playing, with the amount of minutes that he's probably getting. You're more realistically looking for right around 22. So I think he could be obviously a little bit sneaky. Derek Williams just hasn't gotten enough run. He's only averaging around 13 minutes a game. So I'm probably not going that route. I don't know, dude. It's really, really difficult to kind of go anywhere other than Kyrie and LeBron just because of you know, that just because of the way that they kind of run things. So
okay, yeah, you know, when we talk about the Cavs, definitely. I feel like even on a 5-game slate, you know, we're probably not, you know, so enthusiastic about this. You know, what's interesting, though, and I'm kind of shocked that the spread is, you know, I guess it's, you know, when we look at it, it's probably at the right spot. But, I mean, the Pistons have given the Cavs some trouble here, you know, dating all the way back to last year. I know, what, the Pistons just won the last time these two teams met. Yeah, the Pistons took 3 or 4 from them in the regular season last year. They played them decently close in a couple of those playoff games last year as well. So, yeah, I don't think you know, we're going to be worrying about any sort of a blowout factor or anything like that. In fact, I think this will be a very good game for the Cavs to be involved in. Let's, you know, it's pretty cut and dry there with the Cavs. So what are we doing with the Pistons?
Let's see here. The Pistons, I kind of like Andre Drummond. He's had some pretty good success against the Cavs. He's kind of right around that 35-point mark, usually. Marcus Morris absolutely went bananas against LeBron last time, if I remember correctly. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but...
Should be there in the game log. They just played, what was that, last week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I believe last Thursday.
Okay, it wasn't that bad. It was last Thursday he had a 25.5, but he had a 27 earlier. So I seem to remember somebody going off against him the last time. Let me pull up the game here.
Maybe Ish Smith in the first half?
Yeah, that was stupid. Let's see here. Detroit Pistons box score. LeBron James had a triple double. Andre Drummond had the 42. Reggie Jackson had the 29. Tobias Harris had 33. And you're right, Ish Smith in the first half had 21 fantasy points, finished with 22.
Attaboy, Ish. Attaboy.
So it was kind of a tale of two halves for those point guards. So
now I didn't get the full word here on Tobias Harris, just that, you know, he's got some knee issues. Computer is coming back to life here, so bear with me, folks. Yeah, if he has to miss any time tonight, you know, obviously that'll be a good thing for probably Marcus Morris. Even a little John Lewis, but I think that's probably going to be the only way that I go. I think, you know, we've talked about this a couple times in the Slack chat, but you got a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who really only excels in these, you know, up-tempo matchups, and, you know, it's not what we're getting here tonight.
Yeah, but this is a pace up for them, isn't it? I thought it was.
Somewhat.
They're
not going to be ripping and roaring down the court or anything.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of willing to... Let's see here. Actually, it's a neutral matchup as far as pace is concerned for the Detroit Pistons. It's a little bit of a downgrade for the Cavs as far as pace. It's definitely it's the slowest pace game projected of the night. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind going to KCP in a tournament or a qualifier. I'll probably have a share or two. And it's more because of the fact that I think he's going to be under-owned. And he's, you know, legit got 40-point upside. I mean, you don't have to worry about it, or you don't have to believe me. You just have to look at these game logs. We know that he's got it. It's just a matter of... when he's going to hit it. It's not always going to happen, but you only need it to happen once to hit a cue, right?
Hey, I like it. All right, let's get to our next game here. We have got a damn good old matchup here from back in the day with the Pacers at the Knicks. Pacers 3-point favorites in this one, minus 150 on the money line. Over-under set for 2.5 in this one. Interesting to note, Pacers have won 8 of the last 10 meetings versus the Knicks. 7 of the last 10 Knicks-Pacers games have gone under the total as well. And neither team really has a serious injury to worry about, so let's just get right into it.
Oh my freaking God! Sorry, I just got another fudge. What? Rocky's just had another injury.
Oh man, I thought you forgot to hit the record button again.
No. We are recording, so the oh my freaking God is on live. Well, not live, but it's on. It's gonna be in the show. I'm not gonna edit that out. For all of you guys that think that I don't sweat baseball in the freaking spring training, I do. Trust me, brothers, I do.
And yo,
I'm sick
does.
And tired of watching the Philadelphia Phillies on MLB Network, by the way.
You love it.
No, I can't stand it anymore. It was cool the first 3 days until I could basically name their whole 40-man roster plus their AA and single-A farm systems.
It'll make you a better man in the end.
Tommy Murphy is Tommy dead? Murphy just fractured his forearm.
Oh,
he
Lord.
Was one of our top catching prospects.
Him and Enos can talk it out together.
Yeah, but he didn't do this because of
Didn't punch a chair.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, he broke the forearm. We could walk him through it.
Yeah. So, it's, sorry. I
know, your day is ruined now.
No, not ruined. It's just, you know, you got Chad Bettis, who hopefully he gets better soon. You've got, Ian Desmond, who's, you know, got hit by a pitch. He didn't do it on his own. He got hit by a pitch by a guy named Rookie. I'm not making that up. And, you know, you've That's got fair. David Dahl, who's got a bruised sixth rib, who's not even swinging a bat right now. Probably going to start the season on the DL. It sucks. It does. It sucks. Mm-hmm. But okay. So, anyways, what game were we talking about? Sorry,
not the Rocky spring training. Pacers Knicks.
Okay, Pacers Knicks. Let's see here. Carmelo Suckett. Mm-hmm. Paul George. We were talking about this before the game or before the. Before we hit the record button, Paul George has been playing very, very, very well lately. Four out of the last five, can we get this right, have been over 40 fantasy points. Still very affordable over there at 8,100. That's probably about the right price he should be at. I don't think I would go any higher than him. As far as on DraftKings tonight, if my computer will go faster, we've got Paul George, who's 8,200 over there. We all know that Carmelo Anthony is allergic to defense, so this is something I kind of don't mind going to a little bit. And I'm very hesitant to say that because I don't really know if he's got a lot of upside anymore. Do you really think that Jeff Teague has hurt him this much to where he doesn't have to do as much? He can kind of be like, he's still the 1A, but Jeff T can be kind of the 1B to his 1A instead of him being the 1A, B, and C like he has had to be over the last couple of years.
I mean, it's a viable way to look at things. So,
Breaking news, NBA says the Knicks and Nets games are on for tonight.
Got it, got it. Yeah, it does. I mean, it's just really windy. It's not, you know, too bad. But, yeah, I just think the matchup here for Paul George is way too good to pass up. You know, maybe there's the possibility that they put Lance Thomas out on the court for a little more. I mean, even so, there really haven't been many people to slow down George of late. So I know we're not, you know, going to get massive upside from him. We'll probably get 43, 45 points, something around those lines. But that's fine for a five-game slate. You know, I mean, I'm sure we're going to be able to fit Russell Westbrook in on FanDuel tonight as well. So I say all systems go.
Yeah, I like that. I also kind of like Jeff Teague a little bit. Actually, a little bit. I like Jeff Teague a lot of it. I wouldn't be you. I tried to talk you off this ledge a couple times. And now I might be trying to talk you onto the ledge. Monte Ellis.
Hey, came around.
Yeah, I might have come around too late, but I did come around, which is the most important part of it, right?
Right.
He hasn't really had that, you know, there for a while. He was, you know, playing a lot better, playing over 30 minutes before the All-Star break, hitting shots. He's only really had one really good game since the All-Star break. And I'm going to go back and watch. I'm going to see if it was kind of, you know, if he's losing shots or if it's because, you know, Rodney Stuckey's back, which it looks like it kind of is. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. CJ Miles, though, he's the one that's kind of consistently playing the minutes. The problem is that every time I play CJ Miles, he gets hurt or he shits the bed.
Been there.
Oh, man. I think it's Paul George and Jeff Teague and a little bit of Miles Turner for me tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, that's probably going to be the same way that I go. I do think, you know, you got an interesting situation there. Speaking of good game, bad game, Rodney Stuckey, he's been doing that lately. He's alternated games by scoring points or just flat out not scoring points over like the last six games. So, you know, he's on schedule for a bad one tonight. So certainly keep that in mind. You know, Rodney Stuckey was playing well for a little while, and then, you know, he really hasn't done anything of note. Maybe the 18.9 FTP against the Pistons there, but I think Monte Ellis is probably more guaranteed to get those bigger minutes, and, you know, more often than not, he's been the guy that's actually done something. And again, you know, we're just trying not to get zeros on this slate. You know, if you have your Westbrooks and, you know, Paul George, you know, Porzingis, guys like that can put up a pretty good amount of points, you're going to be in good shape. You don't want to have any zeros. And that's kind of stupid to say because, duh, of course, but it's kind of even more important on these shorter slates.
Yeah, there's not a lot that I like outside of those three in this game. I think GHG is going to be pretty popular, and I kind of see, or at least I'm kind of hoping that Miles Turner just, like, you know, schools them. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that it's almost like a it feels like you should be having some exposure to this game with where the total's at, but I don't like it. It's the lowest total of the slate, that's kind of funny considering. You know, you got Detroit and Cleveland that's actually a slower paced game. You know, the juice is on the under. I think this might be a complete fade for me on some teams.
Interesting. Yeah, I get, you know, when we talk about the Knicks, Porzingis is still, you know, doing enough at his salary. Now, having watched this matchup here that I'll probably have against Thad Young, Porzingis usually does pretty well here. You know, on the flip side, Porzingis is just way too tall and long for Thad Young. It would not surprise me to see Porzingis have maybe like 3 or 4 blocks tonight, all of them being on Thad Young. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind too, but I really like Porzingis here. And as Carmelo has kind of taken a step back with this team, it's been Porzingis to pick up the slack.
Yeah, Carmelo's just kind of useless now. Watch him go off for 65 tonight. But, you know, he's playing the minutes, but he's not doing anything with it. Like, he's doing everything he possibly can to not run the triangle while they're doing everything that they possibly can to run the triangle. And so when you get that, I mean, yeah, he had a good game, but it was Brooklyn, you know, he kind of gets up for that game since they're both right there in the, you know, the tri-state area. And I don't know. It just,
you know, maybe New York.
Oh yeah. I wasn't even talking about that. Like, well, I guess I was, but it just, I'm not excited about this game, man. It just,
all right, well, let's move on. I know exactly what I know exactly what your issue is, because you're so fired up to talk about the OKC Thunder and the Brooklyn Nets, where your Thunder are 6-point favorites here, minus 240 on the money line, total of 225 here. Nets have covered 4 of their last 5 games against the Thunder, so let's keep that in mind. And one piece of injury news for both sides: Taj Gibson questionable with the hip injury, Joe Harris questionable with the concussion. Okay, so we got Russell Westbrook going against the fastest paced team in the NBA, the 3rd worst defense in the NBA. I think we all know that this is a good idea. We have seen situations in the past, though, where it might be too good of a matchup. I don't think that's the case. A lot of people are scoring points against the Nets, so Russell Westbrook might be the safest play in the history of daily fantasy sports tonight.
Yeah, he's going to be the highest owned player. Just go out there. Make no mistake about it, I do not advocate fading Westbrook. He's about the only player that I would ever go 100% on. Even when Kevin Durant was in a primo spot, I still only went 85% on Kevin Durant out of 50 lineups. Oh yeah, he got hurt 45 seconds into the game too. So he just continues to find ways to screw me over. One of the funniest things is it's Russell Westbrook, man. Like, the guy's averaging a triple-double. I heard a stat the other day, okay? Get this. He could average for the remainder of the season 0-0-0 and still have better numbers than Kawhi Leonard.
Interesting. I've got a bit of breaking news. Now, do you want me to talk about it now, or should I wait until after the game's over? Or until this discussion is over?
Go ahead. You're going to tilt me all again, right, for the second time in the
No. It has nothing. It's a good thing for our podcast. I messaged good buddy Paul Spohr the other day, and he said he would come on for MLB pod.
Oh, yes, big, sir.
Looking big names for the Army here, so yes. That is good to know.
That's pretty sweet, dude. That's a
and
nice
little I didn't
little
even
pool.
Have to go through. Yeah, I didn't have to go through his Hollywood agent. So
there you go. That's a nice little pull. He's actually the one that broke the news to me about Tom Murphy. So
then. He popped off with his tool was fake player, real injury. For those of you that don't know who Paul Sporer is, he's a well-known baseball guy that actually writes for FanGraphs and does their podcast.
ESPN Insider.
ESPN Insider. He's one of the most renowned baseball statistical minds in the business and has put it into fantasy. If you have never listened to Rotographs, which is a podcast that he puts out, then you probably are doing yourself a disservice if you do not, if you plan on playing MLB DFS. So there's a lot of great nuggets in there, and that's a nice pull, man. That's a nice little pull.
Yeah.
I was just gonna surprise you with a couple beat writers from different teams and stuff, but that's a nice little pull.
Well, hey, you can still surprise me with the beat writers. That's definitely a cool thing, you know. So, definitely a lot of special guests for the podcast and baseball season this year, which is very cool. All right, let's get back to the matter at hand here, where hopefully these Brooklyn Nets can pull off the upset tonight.
Did it shock you that we're only 6-point favorites?
No,
because I have to say this. First glance, like first reaction was like, what? And then I remembered that we haven't won a game on the road since January.
Okay.
Oh, man. So that kind of allows you to kind of understand where they're probably coming from a little bit. I was actually kind of shocked that we were only 6-point favorites
more shocking here. I think it's the fact of the money line, you know, like 240. It's very close to that, you know, to that number that I always say we got to be weary about. So, you know, look, and again, it makes sense here too, right? Nets covered last 4 of the 5 meetings against the Thunder. I know it's a much different team now than in the past, but you know, this Nets team, we know them, right? They hang close in these games. They play well. You know, the first time that we played, we actually we had at the time season high for first quarter points, which they actually broke on Sunday there against the Knicks. But it was a pretty good game for a while, and then you guys pulled away at the end. So I mean, look, Brooklyn is playing so much better now that Jeremy Lin is in the lineup. Him and Brook Lopez working really well together. So, you know, I think that could be a decent way to go here in this game. I know Lin kind of, you know, made us pull our hair out for the first 3 quarters of that game against the Knicks on Sunday. But, yeah, I think he's definitely an option that we can go back to here if you want to ping pong it with Russell Westbrook especially.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of history here as far as what Oklahoma City likes to do, and make no mistake about it, they like to let teams that shouldn't be in the building with them hang around, and yeah, so it's going to be a Eddie Lacy reportedly weighed 267 pounds at visit. It's going to be a single-digit game in the fourth quarter tonight. Make no mistake about it. So, we've kind of talked about the game scenario, what we expect. Besides Russ, if this is the highest total of the night, which it is.
Nice.
And it's a closer spread, which it is. There's got to be more than just Russell Westbrook, right?
You would think so. I'm not going to be big on Victor Oladipo here. Nets are actually pretty good against shooting guards. It might not look like that in the, you know, the DVP numbers, but they have held some decent shooting guards there, just some low totals. So I don't know that I'll be on Oladipo, but anywhere else you can pretty much have your damn pick of. Enes Kanter, he's going to be on the court at the same time that Brook Lopez is off of it for the most part. So Yeah, he's definitely a good option there for power forward. Not like Brook Lopez is going to, you know, stop him anyway, but, you know, just the height advantage that Canner is going to have against these guys like Trevor Booker and Justin Hamilton, guys like that, they're going to be playing with the second unit. I think that's a matchup that we could really exploit. I mean, I just talked about Trevor Booker. He's in play. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, even. Sean Kilpatrick, I like, but only if Joe Harris is going to be out for this one. He's really upped his minutes. And
Joe Harris
basically
is out.
Overall, he is out? All right, yep, cool. So, yeah, so I like Kilpatrick then for this one. And, look, we do need we need low-price options here on tonight if we're going to be fitting in, you know, Westbrook's, George's, AD's, whoever it is. So, yeah, Kilpatrick, definitely a good low-price option.
Yeah, I kind of like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He's he can play some of that 2-3 guard. I think that when you guys go small, he can also play at that 4. The issue I have is I don't like any of the guards in this spot. For Brooklyn, I don't like Caris LeVert. It just kind of all of them, they all kind of eat into each other, and going up against guys like the only reason I like RHJ is because he's damn near minimum price across every freaking site. Well, he's 4,400 on FanDuel. I'm sorry. I don't like that. Never mind. Forget that. Just take it out. By the way, you guys only have one small forward eligible player on FanDuel. Every other small forward that's listed in this game, yeah, they're on Oklahoma City. And wow. three of them don't play. Two of them don't play, sorry.
We're unique about how we run things here in
Brooklyn,
right? Unique
New York.
Unique New York. That's exactly it.
But I was going to say, going up against guys like Victor Oladipo, who's, actually, is it safe to say that Victor Oladipo is more valuable to us on the defensive end of the court than he is the offensive end?
Oh, yeah. I would strictly say that because, I mean, Russ does everything for your team. So, yeah, I would definitely say that.
Yeah. So, I like the pairing of Russ and Robertson, or Russ and Cantor, or I'm going to be paired every Russ lineup I make. Tommy Joseph almost just went completely yak. Every Russ lineup I make is going to have one of them in the lineup. Not Oladipo, but it's going to have Robertson or Cantor or Steven Adams, and Steven Adams might be the sneakiest one of them just because of the fact of how much he's been struggling on the offensive end. But he started to kind of turn it around a little bit against Utah. Now, granted, Rudy Gobert was out, but you've got to sit there and look at it, and you just wanted to see a positive, something going in the right direction with Adams. And it started to a little bit. I think, to be completely honest, the All-Star break probably hurt him a little bit more than it hurt anybody else because he was in such a nice little groove right there before the All-Star break that it ended up kind of hurting him. Coming out of the break, he's still playing his minutes, but he showed some, he was more aggressive on the offensive end is what I was trying to say. That's just a long way of me saying he was more aggressive the last, and Billy Donovan told him to be. This was coming after a game that he basically took one shot. So I like Steven Adams as a sneaky play. I don't know if I can go anywhere else in Brooklyn other than Trevor Booker and Brook Lopez, and they're in different lineups.
Okay. Just to piggyback off your Adams thing real quick, three of the last five games he's been kind of right there at the 5X value. And remember, I mean, teams or opposing centers are crushing the Nets this season, so that could certainly be a – more of a low price option to go to. I like that play. And again, I like that Cantor play that I was talking about too. Just him against an undersized kind of second unit. I think that'll work out very well for us.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Cantor. He's not a cash game play by any stretch of the imagination. If Steven Adams gets into foul trouble, he's going to get a little bit more extended run. So I mean that's a good play. You've got to know that you could only be getting 18 to 20 minutes out of Cantor. But if you get 18 to 20 minutes out of Cantor, you could still get 30 fantasy points. You could still get a double-double. You know, I mean, he's a great offensive player down in the block. But oh my God!
It is interesting, right? Because you got Taj Gibson with the hip injury, so if he misses some time,
he's playing tonight. You know, they've already said
he is. All right. So forget what I said.
The 76ers are a joke. Brooke is definitely back tonight, right? Like he's not going to rest. You guys play tomorrow, don't you?
I'm uncertain about, but I probably wouldn't expect him to rest. If anything, this is a big game for the Nets, you know, just being at home, having Russell Westbrook in the building. So
no, you guys are off tomorrow. All's clear.
Yeah, I'm gonna play. Yeah, he'll be good. But yeah, I mean, the Nets played pretty well, you know, in these bigger games. So I like. All right, two more games to get to. Let's discuss them. We got the Portland Trailblazers at the New Orleans Pelicans. They call their arena the Smoothie King Center. That's funny. Minus 185 on the money line are the Pelicans, and we got ourselves a total of 215.5 in this one. Blazers have won 7 of their last 9 games against the Pelicans, and 6 of these last 9 Blazers-Pelicans matchups have resulted in the total going under. A couple injury news notes here for both sides. Evan Turner, Ed Davis, of course, both out for the Blazers. And then for the Pelicans, Dante Cunningham, questionable with the illness. And then Jared, Jack, and Omar Asik, both out for this one. Where are you looking here?
Boogie is probably going to be price-induced chalk. And it's worth the consideration of a fade. When was the last time we saw Boogie at 9? At 9K? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
And he is... I mean, he's normally... Like, FanDuel is... Or... Normally, DraftKings is the one that's underpriced their center. He's 9,600 on DraftKings today, 9,000 on FanDuel.
Something's up there. You know, you got to take into account here, too. It's not exactly, you know, going to be a tremendous matchup. I'm sure he's going to have Aminu on him at times. That's not good. If we want to talk about Anthony Davis, you know, he'll be going up against Yusuf Nurkic. If, you know, maybe he can get him into foul trouble, you know, that could sort of work out. But again, you know, we've talked about this a couple times recently, but Nurkic is a very capable defender, one of the best in terms of centers and defensive real plus minus. So not exactly someone that I'm totally excited to kind of pick.
And there's some history here, by the way.
Oh, there is.
Yes. When Nurkic was with Drew Dinkmeyer tweeted it out last year. I'll tweet it out in Slack. But there's some history where he was talking shit to Boogie last year when Nurkic was with Denver and Boogie was with Sacramento.
That's right. Yep.
So.
Okay.
It's just funny, but there is a little bit of... I don't know if you would call it bad blood or not, but there is some history.
No, now that you mentioned, I believe it's bad blood between the two guys. Like, they legit hate each other. So, very interesting. Given what we know, I mean, you know, we just talked about the matchups aren't that great for the Pelicans, but they are favored. So maybe even a little Drew Holiday here?
I love Drew Holiday tonight. Absolutely okay. Love him. So, yeah, I absolutely love him. He's kind of been on the downswing a little bit lately ever since the Boogie trade. You know, we don't even know what, like, make no mistake about it. Boogie is a risk tonight. He sat the whole fourth quarter and overtime of that last game against Charlotte.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's not a lock to, you know, play 35 minutes again tonight. I don't think I've ever seen Boogie Cousins get benched before. And that is something that I don't know if I'm really wanting to mess with. I'll have a little bit of exposure to him, you know, because he's Boogie, he's too cheap. And if he goes for 75, which he's fully capable of doing, you know, and you don't have him, you're dead. But, I mean, in tournaments, I love Drew Holiday as a pivot to try to absorb some of the correlation there. I mean, we saw when Drew Holiday or when Boogie was out of the game and it was just Drew and AD, they both kind of ate and then they went back for seconds and then, oh yeah, they even went back for dessert. I mean, it was just, it was nice. So yeah, I like the combo of, I'm going to pair AD and Drew in a lineup together. I just don't know if there's enough value to make Westbrook, AD, and Drew all work yet.
Yeah. So. Hey, real quick, you know, we were talking about Nurkic, but I just saw this great tweet from Swish Analytics. They had a good one here, and it says, since – oh, my God, I'm trying to screenshot it. 17.5% of Nurkic's FanDuel points have been via assists since the All-Star break. New Orleans has allowed the fourth fewest assists per minute to centers since the Cousin trade.
Wow.
Yeah. If you needed any more reason.
I don't know what to do with that. I'm sitting here because I'm reading the same tweet. And I'm kind of analyzing the information in my head, trying to figure out exactly what to do with it. And I just really, don't know what to do with it. So
probably just no Nurkic.
Huh?
Probably just no Nurkic. That's it.
But okay, so let's take a look at the centers that, you know, with only five games we can actually kind of do this a little bit. Let's take a look at the centers that they face. Charlotte, okay, Cody Zeller, Frank Kaminsky was out. Cody Zeller, yeah, I'll take Nurkic over that. Rudy Gobert, he's not really a high assist guy. There's no center on the Lakers, Jonas Valanciunas. So they haven't really, the only good center that they've really faced is that can actually assist. I really, really think, I mean, you're already talking about a position that doesn't assist the ball a lot anyways.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, fine. You just shot down the damn retweet. So way to go.
Well, I'm just thinking because everybody in the DFS community just saw that tweet.
I don't know if every one of them saw.
Well,
it,
you know what I mean. I mean, Swish Analytics has like
literal
15,000 followers. I mean. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can.
It's definitely an interesting tournament pivot. This game has me fumbled in a lot of different ways because we haven't even talked about one of my favorite plays of the night.
Oh.
Yeah. We have.
Who's that?
That would be Mr. CJ McCollum.
Ah, I've been using him a lot lately. It's been well.
It's been working out well, hasn't it? Now, if Alan Crabb would just get cold from the field, so he could. You shouldn't have used CJ, you know, against Phoenix. Wait, was that Phoenix? No, that was Washington against Portland. I got him mixed up for Bradley Beal for a second. I'm sorry. Please.
All well.
our fearless leader with the amazing tweet, Seattle went from beast mode to feast mode, # Fat Eddie.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Well played, Kevin. Well played.
But yeah, CJ McCollum is probably my favorite play out of this game, and that's including Jrue Holiday, Boogie, it's everybody. Anthony Davis. There's a lot of exposure. I'm honestly legitimately thinking about fading the Indian New York game, the Detroit and Cleveland game, and just stacking OKC, Portland, and Philly in these games and just going to town. Like,
not a terrible idea.
They're three totals. They're all around that 220 mark. I mean, it could legit be the nuts tonight.
Interesting.
As the Golden State total starts going up.
what do you do with Damian Lillard here? Because this is going to be a very unprofessional take.
I think
I had a dream last night that he had 75 fantasy points. Yeah.
Are you sure it was against New Orleans?
I don't recall who it was against, but you know what's crazy, right? So I'm wondering if this happens to you or a lot of our listeners, but you know, pretty much all I do is look at fantasy stuff all day. So I'll be sleeping and I'll just be in like really intense dreams where I've got a lineup going and I'm like, it's going off. And then I wake up and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, oh man, there's no games going on right now. So I just do myself. Do you ever do that?
The alarm clock is the cause of your bad beat. You know, because if it's going off and then you wake up, then you obviously didn't win.
No, it's not the alarm clock. It's just me. Like, I'll be dreaming that, you know, that, like I got this great lineup going and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, well, no, nothing's going on right now. I'm dreaming.
Yeah, mine's more of along the lines of me losing track of time and thinking that lock was like 5 hours later than it originally was. And I have nightmares like that. So there's different ways that will be there's different ways that we do fantasy. I mean, I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning analyzing the slate and getting ready for, you know, the ifs and scenarios that we could have, and then Rocco throws it into a complete shitstorm earlier and then just threw it into a complete opposite shitstorm just a little bit ago. And so I'm just a little bit flustered, but I like the idea of stacking, of just basically making this a 3-game slate and stacking the hell out of it in any way I can, in every single way I can, and going to town.
All right. Fair enough.
So,
okay. Last game of the night.
Oh, but to answer your question, I think that Damian Lillard is going to be a very, very popular pivot play because he's not 9K. He's not Kyrie going against a quote-unquote perceived bad matchup in Detroit, even though it's the nuts matchup. Well, about as nuts as it can be. You know, he's not Steph Curry, who's been shooting the ball like shit lately. So I think Damian Lillard, who's been playing very well, even on the road, is going to be right there at that. I think that the Damian Lillard Jrue Holiday pairing is going to be a very, very very, very popular pairing on FanDuel tonight.
All right. Last one here. Let's get to it. Well, we didn't even talk about Crawford.
Jordan Crawford?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with him yet. And I'm being 100% completely honest. And the reason I don't know what to do with him yet is because he's played 27, 26, and 20 minutes. He's put up 28, 17, and 29. He's still $3,500. Like,
It's a beautiful thing.
He's going to be very, very, very popular tonight. I mean, those were some of the first questions that we got in Slack tonight, or today, was, is anybody on Jordan Crawford? Everybody looking at Jordan Crawford. You know, I think he's going to be popular tonight. And I don't know if I'm willing to go there outside of my main lineup. I think in my four qualifier teams that I'm going to have outside my main lineup, he's going to be a fade. And it's just strictly a game theory because I'm not opposed to fading a $3,500 guy that's going to be popular. Because he's $3,500. The dude's only played three games in the NBA this season. He wasn't even on an NBA roster before last week. There is a reason why. You know, there's... So I don't have a problem fading that, but I don't know what to think of a guy coming in and automatically jumping in and playing 30 minutes and putting up 30 fantasy points, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, we haven't heard of Jordan Crawford in, what, 2 years? 3 years?
Yeah, I guess. All right, last one here. Philadelphia 76ers at Golden State Warriors -16.5 is the Warriors spread. And even better, the money line in this one, -5,000. Every time I see this number, I got to bring it up. These are the same odds that Leicester City had to win the English Premier League last year. So that's how crazy it is.
So you're saying there's a chance for Philly.
So you're telling me there's a chance. In terms of injuries for this one, of course, Kevin Durant is out for the Warriors. And then we just got this ridiculous news of Robert Covington. He was supposed to be out. And then we got the alert from the RotoGrinders app. Great, great thing you should have on your phone. And it basically said that he went through shoot around and he's now questionable to play. So, you know, this just gets even better.
I hope there's no more news that comes out for him the rest of the day.
Okay.
And the reason why is if I just said that right there, what do you think, knowing that I'm going after a qualifier tonight, what do you think I'm going to do?
You're going to play him?
I'm going to play him in three out of five lineups.
Birthday.
Maybe two.
That works.
But I will be playing. If there's no other news that comes out with Jordan Crawford, he is going to be so ridiculously owned, it's not even funny. Because nobody's going to know what to do with it. So, I have. Now, obviously, if let's talk about if he's out. Okay.
Okay.
I think that brings into play TLC a little bit and Justin Anderson. I think those are the two immediate beneficiaries other than Dario Saric, obviously.
All right. I like that.
Thoughts?
No, I like it. I like it. I can definitely get in on it. And,
so
yeah.
What are you doing with Dario Saric going against Draymond Green then?
I probably won't have any part of that.
this is a guy that we did just say you could fade against Al-Farouq Aminu and he goes out and he puts up 46 FanDuel points.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to have...
Oh, wait, sorry, that wasn't... He put up 39 against Al-Farouq Aminu.
Okay.
Still not bad, but not great, but...
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a very tough matchup. I believe Saric did pretty well against the Warriors just when they played not too long ago, but...
I'm looking right now. 39.9.
So obviously he can excel in that. You know, we've had the graphic up before of, you know, Saric's points not being as good on the road as opposed to home, but I don't even know what to do with that anymore because he's just been so damn good. And man, my initial thoughts were to not play it.
The status quo's changed, though. You know, the whole situation has changed from when that graphic was relevant.
Well, if you remember, I took that graphic. It wasn't necessarily the whole season. It was just, you know, since he started getting the big minutes. I believe it was from January 30th on. So keep that in mind.
Gotcha. I kind of like the fade of Dario just because he's going against Draymond Green. I think his ownership is going to be a little elevated just because of the fact that he did just, you know, have a good game against him. I want to say Draymond didn't have a good game that day. No, Draymond had a great game that day. 14, 6, and 11 with 5 steals.
Ooh.
And that's something that he's kind of good at. You know, we talk about steals and blocks are not two of the statistics you can kind of accurately predict. But with Draymond, it kind of is. More so the steals than the blocks. But, you know, he fills up the stat sheet in all different categories, and I will have a lot of Draymond Green tonight.
All right, that works out for me. I like, you know, for me, I'm never that big on Draymond Green because, you know, the massive upside typically isn't there. But, you know, I think we're seeing it happen a little more often here without Kevin Durant and all the other different things going on. So,
but he can put up 55.
Yeah, I'm fully aware of it. I'm finally, like, you know, just how you're coming around to the Monta Ellis, I'm finally coming around to the Draymond.
There you go. My next question is this.
Okay.
Zaza Pachulia played 15 minutes last game against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
16, 5, 2, 1, 1, and 29 fantasy points at $4,400. There's no way we can play Zaza tonight, right?
Well, I think he kind of answered it with some of the, you know, with some of those numbers. I definitely think there is. I mean, but look, we've seen just in recent memory, we've seen DeAndre Jordan, Yusuf Nurkic both have career nights against this team. So,
but they see the difference between them and Zaza is Zaza plays 18 to 21 minutes a night. You know.
I understand that, but you're also getting him at a significantly cheaper cost. And yeah, again, true. for what we're getting at that price, I think it's definitely well worth it. And the only thing that does scare me is the fact that this game, you know, the spread is so big and all that. So, you know, 18 to 20 minutes could turn into 12, you know, if this one really gets out of hand. So that I would say that's the only one that really makes me nervous.
Yeah. I don't mind it, but this, you know, because Zaza actually played against the Spurs. Everybody else didn't. So this could be that random Zaza Pachulia is out tonight game.
Very true, very true.
I mean, I realize that the game was on Saturday night and it's now Tuesday, so they've had, you know, Sunday, Monday, and then all day today, but still. All right. So what are we doing with the Splash Brothers?
Well, we do have a little bit of narrative where it's Stephen Curry's birthday today. So
did you see how many real life, not fantasy points, real life points he's averaging on his birthday?
I did not see that.
It's over 40.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
The actual number. Oh, sorry. That came off of NBA Fantasy. He's averaging 40.35 fantasy points per game. So,
okay.
40 ain't gonna do me at 10-1.
No, definitely not. And, you know, we've seen players struggle on their birthdays this season. You know, we've talked about, you know, narratives and whatnot. Well, I've got sort of a sideways thought at this. I feel like, you know, guys are like planning their parties, or maybe they went out and partied the night before because they couldn't, you know, do it on the night of their birthday. So I think it's worth a fade, and I think a lot of people are going to catch this narrative and say, hey, I can get Steph Curry on his birthday, and, you know, he might not perform up to what we need. So, you know, if you're going to ask me, I'd probably go with the fade.
Okay. I guess I could see that. You know, I was tilted earlier by baseball. I'm about to tilt you. Tommy Joseph just left the game in the top of the third.
Like, with a trainer. he had his bag with him, so I don't think it's too serious, you know? Like, if he were really that hurt, they would have been carting him off or something like that.
Well, yeah,
so,
you know he can walk, but that doesn't – I mean, you need your wrists and ligaments in baseball, so – sorry, I was just trying to tilt you a little bit. Yeah, I mean
– you did a good job.
You're going to have a little bit of Steph. I'm more apt to go to Clay. We've talked about their shooting performances at home and on the road. You know, I hope that people are off of this – off of them, because the spread is just absolutely outrageous. Look, we don't predict blowouts, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is still a game, not maybe in question, but if this is still a close game in terms of the score, in the fourth quarter or in the third quarter, midway through. But, if I can get three full quarters out of Steph tonight at 10-1 and out of Clay at, what is he, 7-2, then I'll take that. So, I mean, we've talked about with these guys' prices, they're priced like they play 33 minutes a game, which they do. So they're priced like they're playing only three quarters. And if you get anything beyond three quarters, you know, just consider yourself lucky. I think that we can take that rest and say, okay, that was a good thing. They probably needed it. They went through a really, really, really messed up schedule with the NBA. I mean, you start in Philly. And then you go to Washington, and the first minute you lose Kevin Durant. And then you go to Chicago, New York, Atlanta, come home for Boston, then turn right around and go to Minnesota, and then San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you do all this in the course of, like, the 27th through the 11th. So you pretty much do all of this in the span of 10 days. Because the 27th was a Monday, the 11th was a Saturday. So that would be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 days. You did this in 12 days. You went to all those cities, played all those games, and you lost against San Antonio. You didn't lose, but you lost against Boston. I mean, you lost against Washington. You conceivably you lost your best player, you know, probably for the rest of the remaining of the regular season. I mean, that was an emotional trip for them. They're back at home. We talked about this against Boston. They're back at home. They shoot better. They play better in Oracle. If we get three quarters out of these guys, then I will be happy, even at their price. Because we know sounds the damage that they can do in three quarters.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. I got nothing else. How about you?
No, I think we're good on that one. Sorry for tilting baseball. It is becoming fresh on our minds. The WBC bracket for Pool F, which is the second round that the United States is in, is absolutely freaking loaded. Those are going to be some amazing games. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Team USA made a roster move today.
Oh?
They replaced Danny Duffy with Drew Smiley. Oh, nothing.
I thought Smiley was already in there, but...
Well, pitcher pool.
But you know what? If this keeps Duffy healthier for the regular season, then, you know, that's...
Country!
Yes, that's a sacrifice.
Country, my friend, country.
I know. But he's not getting, you know, he's not getting full outings. He's like, you know, what, 4 innings that first one there, so...
Yeah, but the pitch limit is increased in the second round.
Okay.
So... It's a little bit different. Nice pickoff move, Jared Eichhoff. So, let's have some fun. Let's go make some money. And please, don't ask about fading Westbrook because you know what my answer is going to be. --, enter.
All right. And don't forget, guys, DFSArmy.com. If you're not a member yet, use the promo code PODCAST. 40% off each month. Do it. All right. So for me, Keith, we go. Peace.
Peace out.